back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We come to you from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, site of the 2013 NFL Scouting Combine. Our guest today is NFL Network's Mike Mayock, who does plenty of talking all day long, and he's done talking for today, but he's going to do more talking for us. Mr. Mayock.
What have you learned so far from a football perspective this week that you didn't know before you got here?
I didn't know before I got here. Well, I learned about this year's class.
The Vikings are sending you here on Viking money, and you need to be bringing them something for
this
that.
This was supposed to go the other way around. I was supposed to be grilling you. Okay. Well, here's the
give
thing.
Give me something. Go ahead.
No, my first question was going to be the identity of, you know, every draft class has an identity, I believe. You know, what's this class's identity? I think it's deeper than it is heavier on top-end talent. I think it's deeper.
So you've been
throughout.
Listening to me, haven't you?
Yeah, that's what you've said. You've said the playoff teams are laughing because there's not much difference between the 25th pick and the 5th pick.
Correct.
Well, guess what? We're a playoff team.
I know.
So we're laughing.
Yes, you are. And you're fortunate. And, you know, I think where the Vikings are picking kind of lends itself towards some of the strengths of the class and some of the needs of the Vikings. And, you know, everybody's talking about wide receivers with Minnesota. And, you know, one of the first things you'd think of is, okay, at that place in the draft, who's going to be there? The Patterson kid from Tennessee is the most talented receiver in the draft. He has top 10 talent. He's going to slide a little bit beyond the top 10, though. And I don't know how far he's going to go, just with off-the-field issues. And I think Rick Spielman and your staff there does a great job in figuring kids out off the field. And they're going to do a lot of homework, I'm sure, on that kid, Patterson. Keenan Allen, who unfortunately didn't get to work out here because he had a little bit of a knee, the kid from Cal.
Yep.
I mean, I like this kid. He's a kid where if you like him, he's Anquan Boldin. If you don't like him, he's speed deficient. So you got to be on one side of that fence or the other. And then you start throwing in all those other guys, Terrence Williams and Quentin Patton. How about Tavon Austin?
Ooh, he's fast.
And he's a matchup nightmare. The Percy Harvin thing is, from a style perspective, I get, but there's about a 20-pound, 25-pound differential because the kid from West Virginia is only 174.
Darren Sproles. I think scouts hate to do the comparisons, like compare this prospect to a current player. Generally they don't like to do that, but for fans, I like to do it because it helps fans with their mind's eye picture a player.
Well, so here's the deal with him, okay, if you want that. He's more of a slot than he is a tailback.
Okay.
So initially you could think Dexter McCluster, who went in the second round a little bit, but he was more of a tailback. Sproles was more of a tailback. I think the comp you want to make is, if you really like this kid, and remember, he's not just a return guy. He's played wide receiver, and he's played it very well. He had 100-plus receptions, okay, this past season.
Back-to-back seasons.
Back-to-back seasons. Yeah. You're 100% right. So can he be Wes Welker? I mean, that's the comp I want to use. Can he get to the point where he can run routes and be that? And why Tom Brady loves Wes Welker is he wins quickly. And that's what a slot has to do in the NFL. Can you win quickly? Mm-hmm. And then when he gets the football in his hands, he's special. And you saw the burst in acceleration in his 40 today. It was crazy. But once he catches the ball, it's all over.
Where the scouting combine, what place does it have in these evaluations, too? Because I feel like it gets a lot of attention. It's a high-profile event. And so from that standpoint, I think it can be overdone. But we wouldn't do it if there was no value to it.
Well, there's value, Wobby, but it's part of the process, okay? And 85% of the process is what you've done on the field and on tape. So your production and your career at your college on tape is 85% of your resume. The rest of it is just kind of crossing off boxes, okay? The first one is the All-Star games. And we're through that process. A bunch of kids stepped up and played better. Some kids played worse. But we're through the All-Star process. Now we're into the measurables. And the king of the measurables is the combine.
Right.
And the process here is A, medical. More fans don't get that. The most important thing out of here is all 32 teams share medical information.
Right.
That's critical, okay? So the worth of the combine is A, medical, B, psychological with all the meetings at night, and then C, it's just kind of trying to, on an apples-to-apples comparison, on the same surface, watching all these kids compete against each other, and then we go from here into the pro day piece of it. And then from there, we're into the last month, April, prior to the draft, where everybody's setting their boards and getting it together. So, Wobby, it's a process where 85% of it was already in the bank before you ever started this, right. But the combine's a really important check.
With the measurables, the 40 time or maybe a bench press measurable, something like that, do you think that teams are going to say at each position, all right, if we're going to use a first-round pick on a wide receiver to play our X position, he needs to be at least 4.55 in the 40. And if he's not that, we're not going to give him that grade. Do you think they have those benchmarks?
Yeah, every team's a little different. Bill Parcells was famous for having a height and weight at every position, and he wouldn't even deviate from it. I know a lot of teams in the NFL look at the corners. A lot of teams say, with all these big wideouts we're dealing with, I can't look at a corner unless he's at least 5'11 and a half or 5'11 or whatever. So there are cutoffs for height at certain positions. There are cutoffs for weight. And then you get into the measurables. And really what it comes down to, and I say this all the time, people get fast guys run fast, slow guys run slow.
It's only a story
if the opposite happens, right?
Yep.
So when the kid Goodwin from Texas ran fast today, I was like, well, of course, he's an Olympic track athlete. Of course he's running fast.
Yeah.
You know, I like seeing some of those other guys. I wanted to see what Marcus Wheaton was going to run today. He ran pretty well. Some of those kind of guys I'm more interested in than I am the guys I know are going to run fast. Yep.
We got you do Notre Dame games on TV. We got a real nice collection of Notre Dame players on our roster. Are there any Notre Damers in this class that maybe we can add to our roster that will make us better?
Well, I mean, I don't think you're going to draft a tight end because you already got a Golden Domer tight end. It's a pretty good football player.
Got two of them, yeah.
Yeah, you got two of them, absolutely. I don't think you need the third.
Okay.
The inside linebacker, Teo, I think is going to go somewhere between 20 and 32, and that's where you guys fall.
Okay.
So he's an interesting guy.
Can he play three downs?
I think he can.
Okay.
And I think his 40 is going to be an important thing for him. You talk about measurables.
Yep.
Teams are anxious to see if he can run a 4.7 40 or not. So people asked me last year about Luke Kuechly from Boston College. I won $20, easiest 20 I ever won off a general manager in the NFL.
Okay.
We had a Luke Kuechly bet before the combine last year, and he told me that Kuechly wouldn't – he goes, he won't run better than 4.8. I was stealing. 4.8, he ran 4.58, you know?
Yeah.
So it's important for Teo to be somewhere in that 4.7 range. And you go down to Zeke Mott as a safety, who's a good football player, not as good as Harrison Smith a year ago because Harrison's got better movement skills. Zeke Mott is a good football player. They've got a center, Braxton Cave. Heck, you've got a center from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
John Sullivan, right? It looks like all the Domers are matching up with your Domers.
Right.
And there's another guy that's kind of a sleeper because he tore his ACL in the national championship game, Capron Lewis-Moore, who I think is
– was he a defensive lineman?
He was a defensive lineman who I really liked and I was sad for. I hope – I know he's going to be in camp, but that knee's going to hurt him, but I'm rooting for the kid.
4-3, we have two linebackers who are going to be free agents.
Yep.
Jasper Brinkley and Aaron Henderson.
Yep.
So we touched on Teo a little bit as an inside linebacker. That would be if Brinkley chooses not to come back or whatever, it doesn't work out, that would be the replacement there. How about – and it's so difficult with outside linebackers because you never know if they're going to be the DN in a
– Well, you're a 4-3 team.
Okay, so we're a 4-3.
From a 4-3 perspective,
outside linebackers.
Kasim Green from Rutgers is a 20 to 32 kind of guy. Might even slide into the second round. Keep an eye on Arthur Brown.
Kansas State. Did not play at the Senior Bowl.
His brother, Bryce Brown, is the tailback for the Eagles.
Okay.
This kid's a really good football player, and I think he's going to go in the second round. I like him a lot.
Okay. Let's go to another level of the defense. Let's go to the secondary. Corners. Look back the last two drafts. In 2011, there were three corners who went before 23. In 2010, there were two corners who went before 23. So I think the Alabama kid might be the best corner, but give me like 3 through 5, your third through your fifth corner at this point, that might be there at 23 for us.
Well, I think you're going to have your choice of everybody but Milner.
Oh, okay.
I think Milner's going to go in the top 15 somewhere, maybe top 10. But after that, most of the corners, people are worried about their top end speed. Xavier Rhodes from Florida State, Trufant. Really liked him at the Senior Bowl. Banks from Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. They're three guys that are in the mix for that second corner off the board. If any of them runs 4.4 or better, then, they're going to be in the mix at 23. But for the most part, right now, all I have is D. Milner, and then I've got a whole group of, and I'll tell you what, again, it's a deep class. It's a deeper corner class than usual.
Yeah.
But who's going to distinguish themselves running is going to be the key, and that'll happen Tuesday afternoon.
There's a little bit of a debate that's starting to brew here at left tackle. We found a great left tackle. He's going to be a 10-year Pro Bowler for us, I think, Matt Khalil. There's two pretty good left tackles in this class. One of them I saw at the Senior Bowl, Eric Fisher, the kid from Central Michigan. The other one is from A&M, Luke Jokel. Do you like one better than the other yet, or have you not really been able to separate them?
Everybody loves Jokel, and I get it. He's really good. I happen to think the kid from Central Michigan, Fisher, I watched Michigan State tape before the Senior Bowl. The Senior Bowl, he was dominant. I don't see a whole lot of difference between the two of them. They both remind me of somewhere in between Joe Staley on the low end and Joe Thomas on the high end. And by the way, the next tackle, Lane Johnson, who had a freaky week, he was a quarterback 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And he might have the most upside of any of them.
You and Rich Eisen.
Yeah.
You got a new spot at the Combine this year.
Yeah.
Is that, you like that better? How's
it's
it going?
It's kind of cool. I didn't know how I was going to like it or not, but it's like calling a game. We're at the 50-yard line. Rich and I are kind of calling a game, and then we throw it to a side set for some perspective. And it just kind of it simplifies it for me. Instead of seven or eight voices, there are two, and I can concentrate on calling the event and let those guys kind of look at the perspective.
Do you think you ever want to get back in and be on the team side of things, be a GM, or ever get back into the league? Have you ever given that any thought?
I don't think anybody would want me. I mean, I'm good on I'm a slappy media guy like you are.
Okay.
But it's a whole different world when you're on the team side.
You enjoy interacting with some of the GMs and the coaches and scouts. That's
my favorite
part
of my job. My favorite part of my job are the football people. And being the son of a coach, I respect what they do. I respect how hard they work at it. And for me, you know, whether it's Scott Studwell or Rick Spielman or the head coach and his staff, I know how hard they work at it, and I totally respect them.
Well, we know how hard you work at analyzing the draft. Thanks for joining us. I'm not going to give you very much credit, though, because I really know that Lee, your daughter Lee Mayock, who used to work with us at Vikings Entertainment Network, she actually convinced you to do this. So I'm not even real sure.
Wobby, you had no shot.
Without Lee helping us.
It was a daughter's love for her father and vice versa.
So thanks, Mike, but more importantly, thanks, Lee, for helping us. All right. Okay, you're done talking. Go visit with all the GMs, and
thanks,
maybe we'll see you around. Thanks.